Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Danielle Lazarova and we begin with the news. 14 Czechs remain unaccounted for in the wake of the Indian Ocean disaster. Eight of the missing are feared dead. The Czech Republic has only one confirmed casualty so far, a 24-year-old woman. News of an alleged second Czech casualty have not been confirmed. The Czech ambassador to Bangkok, Jiří Šidler, said that attempts to identify the body had failed and that a DNA test would be necessary. Meanwhile, experts have been taking DNA samples from relatives of the eight Czechs believed to have died. The first results have already been sent to the afflicted region in order to aid the identification process. The Czech Foreign Ministry has now openly acknowledged the possibility that the bodies of some Czech victims may already have been buried in mass graves. Meanwhile, the Czech public has donated 160 million crowns in aid to Southeast Asia, the biggest collection to help overseas disaster victims in the history of the Czech Republic. The Czech government has contributed 15 million crowns in aid and pledged another 200 million for reconstruction of the stricken area. Moving on now to Czech news, the second reactor of the Temelín nuclear power plant was closed down on Sunday due to a cooling failure in a secondary generator. The plant spokesman said the technical problem did not involve any nuclear aspects of the 1,000-megawatt reactor and did not pose a health hazard. Repair work is expected to take several days. Jaroslav Foldyna, chairman of the Social Democratic Party's regional branch in Ústí nad Labem, has resigned from office. Foldyna announced his resignation at the weekend regional party conference after being subjected to overwhelming criticism from party delegates. This development is viewed as a minor victory for party leader and Prime Minister Stanislav Gross, since Foldyna belongs to the conservative faction within the party, which intends to challenge his authority at the upcoming National Party Conference in March. The Czech retail watchdog intends to slap the French supermarket giant Carrefour with a heavy fine for misleading shoppers in a major post-Christmas sale campaign. The director of the Czech Trade Inspectorate, Jiří Pěkný, said Carrefour was guilty of breaking the consumer's law by announcing price cuts from inflated initial prices and charging customers more than the advertised sale prices at checkouts. Trade inspectors visited the company's 10 stores in the Czech Republic after receiving hundreds of complaints from customers in a single day. Carrefour denies the allegations. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Kate Barrett. 14 Czechs remain unaccounted for in the wake of last month's tsunami in Southeast Asia. We have the latest developments from the Czech ambassador in Thailand. We also take a look at the highly politicized issue of police wiretapping and find out what's behind all this spring-like weather the Czech Republic has been enjoying this winter. All that and more is coming up, so please stay tuned. 2 weeks after the earthquake disaster in Southeast Asia, the search for people unaccounted for continues. So far, only one Czech tourist has been declared dead, but the authorities are seriously worried that eight other people have died and a total of 14 Czechs remain unaccounted for. Martin Mikulay has more.
There is a strong suspicion that one Czech tourist died in Sri Lanka, while another seven people were in the most affected parts of Thailand in the very moment of the disaster and had little chance to run away. The Czech authorities, including the embassy in Thailand, are now very busy searching for the missing. Earlier today, I called the Czech ambassador in Thailand, Jiří Šidler, to ask him how the work is progressing.
Right now I'm at the police station in Phuket. We are checking some photographs of the deceased and also some photographs of items left by survivors. In Bangkok, my colleagues are assisting the last Czech injured tourists to make possible a transfer back home, and also they are checking hospitals in Bangkok in case there are some other Czech injured we didn't know before. And later today I will take part in a meeting of EU embassies here, and the main focus will be identification of the deceased.
There were 900 Czech tourists in Thailand when the earthquake came, and 200 of them were in the disaster-affected area. Thailand is seen by many Czechs as a dream holiday destination and is becoming increasingly popular as prices fall and incomes rise.
Definitely the most desired population of Czech tourists, and every year there is more and more Czech tourists coming. I think this year the number was about 15 or 16,000.
In order to benefit both Thailand and the other affected countries, a number of Czech pop musicians took part in a benefit concert on Sunday. The leading star and co-organizer was young Czech pop star Aneta Mangerová. The former Czech president Václav Havel attended the concert with his wife. They were also accompanied by their friend, American rock musician Lou Reed. This is what Mr. Havel had to say.
Jsme přišli hlavně proto, že jsme našemu příteli Lou Reedovi.
We came to this concert because we wanted to show our friend Lou Reed that young people have a sense of solidarity and that they're able to get enthusiastic over a good thing.
A jak jsou schopni se zapálit pro dobrou věc.
The concert that took place in Prague's Lucerna Palace raised almost 3 million crowns, or 100,000 euros. Another 1.5 million crowns were collected through the popular mobile phone text messages, which were sent by viewers who watched the concert through the TV broadcast. We move now to a story that caused nothing less than a furor when it emerged in the Czech Republic 3 months ago, the news that wiretapping of telephones was among the highest in Europe. Following several high-profile tapping cases, the country's president himself asked for a full investigation. Now the police study is complete, and both the interior minister and other officials are standing by numbers said to show that tapping in this country is not nearly as high as previously thought. We're joined in the studio by Jan Wellinger, who has been following the story. Jan, tell us about the latest developments.
Well, Kate, the new study says that the number of people wiretapped yearly in connection with serious cases of organized or drug-related crimes is actually average among European countries, some 16 people for every 100,000 inhabitants. Now, the previous figures quoted said the numbers was many times higher, as high as 100. The police report's figure ranks the Czech Republic just above neighboring Germany, but well below countries at the top end of the chart, like Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Italy.
But how are the police explaining such a huge shift in the numbers?
That is interesting. The original figures failed to distinguish between the number of phones being tapped and the number of individuals under surveillance, which completely distorted the final result. The new report takes that difference into account, showing quite simply that there are more phones than individuals. Here's what police president Jiří Kolář said.
Je tam vývoj od roku 99 do roku 2003 velice výrazný vzestupný trend.
We now have more than 13 million cell phones in a country of just 10 million, so it stands to reason that means a lot. We tried to explain in the past that the number of tapped lines did not equal the number of individuals, but obviously not well enough. The numbers released before covered only the number of taps.
That sounds a bit academic to me. Are the police blushing over the situation?
Well, blushing, no they aren't. On the contrary, they've come up with figures that suggest that the police in the Czech Republic are not overly zealous in reaching for wiretapping as a tool. There's still a strong public suspicion here, which reaches back to the communist era, that the police do so, and especially given that the new figures also come from the police themselves. And, of course, the situation has become highly politicized after top opposition politicians complained that their own phones had been tapped. Overall, one gets the sense that the police, and this is something that Interior Minister František Bublan has himself acknowledged, want to reveal as little information as possible so as not to put any ongoing surveillance of potentially dangerous individuals at risk. Meanwhile, to convince the public that individual rights are being upheld, Mr. Bublan and other officials repeatedly point out that any form of electronic surveillance or wiretapping must first be approved by a judge.
All right. Lastly, what was the reaction of the opposition in Parliament to the study, and do they accept it at face value?
Well, yes and no. Some in the opposition, like Ivan Langer, who's an MP for the Right of Centre Civic Democratic Party, welcome the study's release on the one hand, but say they would prefer to see a study compiled by an independent commission. Langer himself continues to cast a rather sceptical eye on a number of details in that report.
Podle mne je dobré, že analýza vznikla, ač obsahuje celou řadu velmi nepřesných a zavádějících čísel.
It's good that the study exists, but in my view it contains a number of confusing or misleading figures. All the same, I'm confident those figures, as well as changes to legislation I would like to propose, will see the police, and above all the courts, behave more prudently when allowing wiretapping. We also need to increase legal protection for individuals.
I understand.
That's right. And the conclusion being, it's very unlikely you've heard the last of this issue yet. And the Czech Republic may benefit by having two studies and not one, outlining the state of tapping affairs.
Thanks, Jan. Well, it may be the beginning of January, but given the number of people wearing shorts on the streets of Prague this weekend, you'd never know it. While parts of Northern Europe were battling with strong winds and floods over the weekend, the Czech Republic was basking in warm sunshine. In neighboring Slovakia, temperatures were so high that they brought bears out of their long winter sleep. And here there were reports of primroses coming into flower. David Vaughan reports on a weekend that saw records tumble.
On Saturday, the southern Czech town of České Budějovice enjoyed the kind of weather you might expect in May, with warm sunshine and temperatures over 16 degrees Celsius. There was a similar story in much of the country, making it the warmest 8th of January for well over 200 years. Just to put things into perspective, the average for this time of year is a frosty minus one. 70 hardy swimmers in the town of Pardubice were less than happy with the weather when they gathered for their annual winter swim in the River Elbe. The problem is that usually the outside temperature is cold enough to make the river waters seem relatively warm. But that certainly wasn't the case on Saturday. While the outside temperature was about 13 degrees, the water itself remained almost literally freezing cold. In the village of Dvory nad Lužnicí, the warm weather cost one 10-year-old boy his life when he fell through the melting ice of the village pond. And melting snow is also causing problems in the Czech Republic ski resorts. Luckily, the snow held out for the annual 50-kilometre cross-country race in the Jizera Mountains, but in the Beskydy to the east, most ski lifts have had to be stopped. Fruit farmers are also concerned. If peach and apricot trees start budding too soon, there's a serious danger of them being frosted later. So is all this a result of global warming? It's hard to say, but one thing is certain. Average temperatures in the Czech Republic have risen by over half a degree Celsius in the last 100 years. Temperatures are set to stay warm this week, but with nothing like the extremes we saw over the weekend.
Thanks, David. You're listening to Radio Prague, where we now turn to the latest in Czech sports news with Ian Willoughby.
Tensions are high ahead of Tuesday's vote for the chairmanship of the Czech Olympic Committee, with javelin legend Jan Železný running against the incumbent Milan Jurásek. Železný, who is also a member of the International Olympic Committee, has been accused of being overly influenced by the powerful marketing agency Česká sportovní. The agency is seen by some as something of a rival to the Czech Olympic Committee. Jan Železný strongly refutes any impropriety, and on Sunday made a surprise suggestion in a television debate with Milan Jurásek.
I have a proposal for you, that both of us withdraw our candidatures and allow some third person to run, somebody who could deal with other problems than Česká sportovní. And so on.
Well, Milan Jurásek said it was too late for such a move, and it appears he and Železný will be the only candidates in Tuesday's vote. But whoever wins will have some work to do clearing the air after a surprisingly bitter campaign. It was a very good weekend for Czech skiing, with Nikola Sudová becoming the first Czech woman ever to come first in a Moguls World Cup event. Moguls being skiing downhill combined with going over ramps and doing tricks in the air. Sudová had this to say on the phone from the Canadian resort of Tremblant, where she achieved her historic success.
I was hoping I'd get some good results and get on the podium this season. but I didn't think I'd come first. I couldn't believe it when I won on Saturday. I was so happy. And if I could at least come somewhere among the medals at the end of the World Cup, that would be great.
Elsewhere, Czech cross-country skier Kateřina Neumannová returned from illness to come third in the 10-kilometer classic in Estonia. Neumannová is currently fifth in the World Cup rankings. And in the Czech Republic, the 38th annual Jizerská padesátka in the Jizerský Mountains was won on Saturday by Norway's Gunnar Karl Skjansfjell. He made the second fastest time in the event's history, finishing the 50-kilometer race in 2 hours and 3 minutes. And finally, football, and it didn't take long for Czech Jiří Jarošík to get his first outing at Chelsea. Jarošík, who has signed a 2.5-year deal at the super-rich club, came on in the 70th minute of their FA Cup game on Saturday, just a couple of days after arriving in London. The 27-year-old midfielder said he simply had no time to be nervous. That's all the sport for today.
Thanks, Ian. Well, it's now time for Talking Point, our weekly program that looks in-depth at current issues in the Czech Republic. This week's Talking Point is hosted by Brian Kennedy.
The number of students studying modern languages at British universities has been on the wane in recent years, as is the trend throughout much of Europe. There are fewer and fewer degree programs in minority languages, like Czech, on offer in the United Kingdom, with long-term governmental funding at risk.
Classic language literature studies have been the cornerstone of the Czech studies. Are they still relevant in today's? Can they attract student interests? Can they compete for scarce funds?
It's no longer enough to teach only the Czech language. More and more students tend to choose multidisciplinary programs.
Ghastly studies were a word I associate very much with the actual beginning of dumbing down.
Slavistics is a death ideological approach, death ideological concept.
Czech requires a department like a Russian department in order to exist.
A taste there of some of the sentiments put forth at a recent conference at the Czech Embassy in London on new trends in Czech studies. Although still in a better position than, say, Hungarian, very few UK universities today offer a full Czech linguistic and cultural program. Most students can only study Czech within a larger language department, such as Russian. Indeed, many students enter a Russian program and pick up Czech or another competing minority language along the way. It was against this backdrop that leading academics at British universities and Czech politicians, including Ambassador to London Stefan Fule, met to discuss the future of Czech language and literature degree programs in the UK. Ironically, two seminal events in recent Czech history, the Velvet Revolution of 1989 and accession to the European Union last year, may actually have contributed to the death of a number of Czech studies programs, with their loss of so-called strategic value after the fall of the Iron Curtain.
What sort of future can one expect for Czech and Slovak studies? If German departments have difficulty recruiting students, if chemistry, architecture and Scandinavian departments are not able to pay their own way, what hope is there for Czech and Slovak studies that are, and let's be realistic, probably always will be, of limited market value when seen from the point of view of the accountant's bottom line?
Dr. Tim Beasley-Murray there, a lecturer at CIS, the London-based School of Slavonic and East European Studies, on the bottom line for any academic program, funding. He noted that the British Minister of Education, Charles Clark, recently asked the Higher Education Funding Council for England to perform a review of subjects, including minority languages. One saving grace for the Czech programs, he said, was that Minister Clark has suggested that courses related to European Union accession countries in Eastern Europe and the Baltics are of national strategic importance. But while the special treatment at the hand of central funding bodies might seem like good news, ensuring the continued existence of Czech and Slovak studies programs, it may ultimately lead to their impoverishment, says Dr. Beasley-Murray.
My argument here is, in essence, that an increasingly narrow definition of national strategic importance may lead to an inexorable social scientization of Czech and Slovak studies that perhaps will allow them to flourish in the short term, but will mean their severe impoverishment, if not extinction, in the long term.
The overall funding trend is alarming, conference participants agreed. On top of that, says CIS professor of Czech and Slovak literature, Dr. Robert Pinsent, is a worrying decline in the overall numbers of students following specialist language and literature degrees.
For some years now, it has been considered that there is a crisis in Czech, Slovak, Central European language studies. Recently, it has been said that this so-called crisis is part of a general trend in the United Kingdom and indeed elsewhere for school children not to take language-based degrees or not to apply for language-based degrees.
Instead of specialist language and literature degrees, greater numbers of students are pursuing generalized cultural studies degrees, something Professor Pinsent and others attribute to a wider trend of dumbing down in academia, with students steering away from difficult subjects like languages.
As far as Czech is concerned, applications for undergraduate places remain very strong at Oxford. Since it is where one does one's undergraduate studies that in the end matters most for a graduate, the Oxford figures are heartening. Oxford, however, has not yet been cursed with course unitization or modularization, that system produced by the soundbite culture of inclusiveness and transparency. But then Oxford still does literature properly, and so undergraduates have a chance to learn the language pretty decently.
University of Bristol lecturer Rajendra Chintis says that, regrettably, under the banner of cultural studies, a classic work of literature is often given as much cultural weight as the latest rap video.
Though these types of course are presented in every sense as equivalent to literature courses, they fail in practice to provide students with the general or specific skills and knowledge that increasingly dissatisfied employers expect. Moreover, the reduction of a modern languages degree to a goulash of social sciences and cultural studies plus language will encourage universities in their attempts to remove lucrative language teaching from departments into commercial operations. Those departments, having abandoned their roots in the humanities, will then wither.
Most university language departments in the United Kingdom are regarded as operating in deficit, and an increasing number are under threat of closure or reduction. One way for Czech language and literature departments to stem the tide, said participants in the London conference, would be to launch coordinated recruitment drives among UK universities to promote Czech itself rather than the individual programs. But the Czech government, too, must pull its weight, argues Professor Jan Čulík of the University of Glasgow in Scotland. He notes that funding for popular summer school programs in the Czech Republic, a proven device for recruiting students, has been cut in recent years.
Over the past year, the provision from the Education Ministry in Prague for these summer schools have mysteriously been cut down, which is a great problem for students who have actually studied Czech for a year and whose knowledge would be embedded. And suddenly, instead of being able to send five, we've been told we can send two.
Czech ambassador to London, Stefan Fule, who presided over the New Trends in Czech Studies conference, has promised to look into securing more funding for summer schools. He notes that within the framework of the Visegrad 4, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary, he has already met with his counterparts about the possibility of funding a high-profile program for Central European Studies at Oxford, for example. In addition, the Czech ambassador to London says that the Czech parliament will also be asked to look into funding scholarships for foreigners in order to study at Czech universities. Meanwhile, the embassy in London itself, says Ambassador Fule, would do more to coordinate with British universities to host events and otherwise help attract students.
And that was this week's Talking Point with Brian Kennedy. This brings us to the end of today's program, but let me remind you first that you can look up our program online at www.radio.cz to find all our stories in sound and text. We'll leave you now with the sounds of Lou Reed, who's currently in the Czech Republic with his old friend Václav Havel. From me, Kate Barrett, and the rest of us here in Prague, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Good night, ladies. Ladies, good night. It's time to say goodbye. Let me tell you now, good night, ladies. Ladies, good night. It's time to say goodbye. Now all night long you've been drinking your tequila, but now you've sucked your lemon peel dry, so why not get high and good night, ladies, ladies, good night. Good night, ladies. Oh, ladies, good night. It's time to say goodbye. Good night, sweet ladies. Oh, ladies, good night. It's time to say goodbye. Bye bye. Oh, we've been together for the longest time, but now it's time to get high. Come on, let's get high and good night, ladies. Ladies, good night. Oh, I'm still missing my other half. Oh, it must be something I did in the past. Don't it just make you wanna laugh? It's a lonely Saturday night. Oh, nobody calls me on the telephone. I put another record on my stereo, but I'm still singing a song of you. It's a lonely Saturday night. Now if I was an actor or a dancer who is glamorous, then you know an amorous life would soon be mine. But now the tinsel light of starbreak is all that's left to applaud my heartbreak. And at 11 o'clock I watch the network news. Oh, whoa, whoa, something tells me that you're really gone. You said we could be friends, but that's not what I want. Ah, anyway, my TV dinner's almost done. It's a lonely Saturday night. I mean to tell you, it's a lonely Saturday night. One more once, it's a lonely Saturday night.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.